Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette with Action International Ministries Uganda. And by the gracious will of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, it's my joy to look to the Word of God with you and worship Him in the preaching and teaching of His Word. May the Lord bless your heart with His precious truth, my friends. Our contact number is 0782-652-143. You can learn more about Action International Ministry Uganda at www.actionuganda.net. My friends, we're in Ephesians chapter 5, continuing in verse 1 today, looking at what it means to imitate God as His dear children. And by the mercy of the Lord, we'll soon read verses there in Ephesians chapter 5. I'll be reading from the New King James Version of the Holy Bible. Please read along with me in your Bible if you are able to. And so, dear friends, let us pray. Lord, how blessed we are to be called your dear children, to be called the sons of God, all by your transforming, marvelous grace, all by this great love that you have for us to save us and to make us to be your adopted sons in Christ, to make us to be your true children, fully from the heart, a son of God. Lord, thank you that you love us and that you teach us as our kind and heavenly Father. And so once again, we are blessed to come as children and to sit at your feet, Father, Tata, to receive your teaching and to learn of you and your marvelous ways. Lord, thank you that we are not orphans. You have not left us alone. You have come to us. And through the Word of God and by the Spirit, you are present to teach us how to live, how to enjoy your blessings, how it is that you desire for us to obey, how we please you in obedience and love you and serve you as your dear children. And so, Lord, thank you for this wonderful opportunity once again to sit under your teaching at your feet. We bless you, Father. We praise you. We love you, all by virtue of the precious blood of your Son, which has transformed us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And so, my friends, let us hear the Word of God beginning in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. That's through verse 2. And so, my friends, we left off last Lord's Day talking about how it is that we are encouraged to imitate Christ. We are encouraged in this to imitate God because Christ is fully God, God in human flesh. And so it is that Paul teaches us as a spiritual father, as he taught the Ephesians and the Corinthians and other Christians, to also imitate him. That is, as he follows Christ in real holiness, that we can imitate him. He imitates Christ. Christ is the model and the pattern for Paul. And so Paul follows Christ's pattern, and we can faithfully follow Christ's pattern in Paul's imitation as Paul is faithful to Christ. And wonderfully, we have that same principle working today in our lives as we follow faithful, godly, spiritual fathers, spiritual leaders. As they imitate Christ, as Paul did, we can also imitate them. And let me note this morning as we begin that this is a very important and necessary way to learn about God. We learn in great measure by imitation. We do that which our teacher, or if you will, our father, teaches us to do. We simply mimic. We simply model. We simply pattern. We simply imitate in this sense. And that's really the heart of what Paul is getting at here in his commandment. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, that which Christ and Paul did, that which our spiritual leaders do, which is truly godly, is worthy of imitation. And so wonderfully, we learn of God and we learn by imitating God, who is present in godly leaders in this way. We want to take a look at a few more verses that deal with this concept, this truth of imitating Christ and imitating Paul also, because Paul clearly calls us to imitate him as he imitates Christ. And so let's look at verses here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And we find here in verses 7 through 9 this truth. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Verse 9, not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. And we see here Paul's teaching that he purposefully worked, laboring, he says, toiling, that's hard work, night and day. He worked as a tent maker. And he says that he did this so that he would be an example to the Christians in Thessalonica. And so Paul's conduct is worthy of their following. He is a worthy example of how to follow God in this regard. And so there in verse 7, he reminds them that they knew, in fact, they had observed and learned by his example how to follow us. He's speaking there of the grace of God given him to be an apostle, of the grace of God given to other spiritual leaders, pastors, and teachers who God appoints to be a pattern for those that they lead. And he says, you yourselves know how you ought to follow us because you saw our good conduct. And he says that we were not disorderly among you, not in rebellion, not out of order, not out of authority, but we were orderly in our lives as believers following Christ. See the example he sets for them of living an orderly life, a life of obedience. And he says there that they did not steal. He says, we did not eat anyone's bread free of charge, that is, for nothing. In other words, he's saying, we did not come and take your food so that you have this expense and this burden of providing food for us. He says, no, we did not put this burden upon you. We did not take your bread free of charge, or if you will, we did not steal your bread, but we worked with our own hands, laboring and toiling night and day. Again, he sets a great example for them. He was a hard worker, and he toiled to earn his bread. Though he makes comment here that he did this not to be a burden to them. He could have, in his apostolic authority, received their food freely. That would not have been sinful had they desired to freely give him food. That would not have been a theft on his part. But he says that he made himself an example, and his co-leaders, others with him, perhaps Timothy or others, early spiritual leaders, pastors, made themselves an example and taught by example how they were to live. Notice there again that his example for them is that he did not put a burden on them, but as young believers, they were free of this burden to learn of his example and follow his example. He's teaching them to work, and that was a great problem in that area. Some of them refused to work. Some believers, they had truly come to Christ, refused to work, and so Paul had to correct them And by way of application this morning, this is an important truth for us today in Uganda too. It is required of believers that we work and that we do not make ourselves burdens to others. In fact, Paul says that if a man does not work, he should not eat. And so everyone is required as a believer to work and to carry his own burden in this sense, and that he might have means to help others who are in need. And so it's a great mistake to say, I am a Christian, I need not work. It's also a great mistake to say, I am a Christian leader, and I need not work. Because the simple fact is that every person and every Christian is under commandment of God that we must work and care for ourselves. That was always God's will for man. Back to Genesis, God made Adam, and Adam had work, a blessed work to do, and that is that he was to care for the garden, tend to the garden. And so God created man with the blessing of work, and we are to fulfill that work, though now, since the fall, work is much more difficult for us. But nevertheless, believers are required to work, and leaders are required to work. Now, some church leaders will work in the ministry and receive remuneration, receive money from their church so that they are free to work in the ministry. That will not always be the case for every leader. If you are leading a ministry, a church, a congregation that cannot support you, then the principle clearly described by Paul here is that you must work and then also minister. I can share a really wonderful example with you about that. I have a friend, and he pastors a church in Matungo, and he's a good friend of mine. In fact, I know him very well, and I have for many years. I was blessed to marry him and his bride many years ago, and I have always enjoyed him and admired him, because he's always worked at a job. He's always pastored ever since I knew him. In fact, we were partners in ministry and still are in some capacities. We've been partners for many years, I should say. But he's always worked to provide for his family, and he's always provided for the church also. And he has set a great example for his people so that many people in his church follow his godly example, just as Paul brings it to us here, that he must work. He is not slack. He is not neglecting to provide for his family. He's not saying that I can't work, I can't provide for my family because I must pastor the church. The church is not able to support him fully so that he can support his family. So he wisely and courageously serves in his job. He gets the necessary income for his family, and he serves in the church also, you see. And so that's really the normal and best pattern for us until the church or ministry can adequately provide for us. Now, there's so much more to say about this, but this is a great example of what Paul is saying about being someone that Christians can imitate, you see. And then we find in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 6, this encouragement. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 6. It says here, "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Spirit." Verse 7, "so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe." Now notice the workings of the Spirit here. Paul came to the Thessalonians, and they began to follow him and his ways. He was God's appointed spiritual father. He was their appointed spiritual leader. And so they came to Christ under his ministry, and they became followers of Paul and the godly men who were with him, other godly leaders. In this, they became followers of the Lord. And so they learned to follow the Lord Jesus by the example of Paul, who they followed. And he says to them, you received the word in much affliction. In other words, there was great trouble upon them by receiving the word. The word is oftentimes opposed and comes with great trouble. There is affliction in receiving the word. This was the case for the Thessalonians. And so though they received the word of God that Paul faithfully preached to them in much affliction, they also received it with a joy in the Holy Spirit. They were truly saved. And interesting to note the contrast here. Much affliction and joy in the Holy Spirit. Both things are experienced by the Thessalonians. And so it is that they then became examples to others in Macedonia. Their tribulations, their difficulties strengthened them and must have increased their joy in the Spirit because they became leaders or examples through others. And that's really a great work of God in their lives. That is that God brought them into trouble and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so they became strong spiritually and then became leaders of others. They became an example to others in the regions of Macedonia, that's northern Greece, and Achaia, that's southern Greece. They were examples to all who believed, so that the word of the Lord sounded forth from them into this area. Interesting, isn't it, that the word of God came from them in much tribulation and much difficulty. That's oftentimes the case when we come to Christ in affliction and difficulty and yet joy in the Holy Ghost, then many times we are strengthened and able then to set an example for others. We rise up into this leadership capacity and bring forth the word of God to others and to other places. And so we see here, once again, this concept, the principle at work of a spiritual leader following that spiritual leader's example. And so we find in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, another example of this. And we're taking time to look at these verses because this is really such a great and important concept. And let me add, too, that it's a truth that we need to more fully understand in Uganda. And it's a truth that requires, my friends, that we be led to see that we must pray for godly spiritual leaders. We must pray for pastors and elders, fathers in the faith. We must pray for mothers in the faith, that the young women and the sisters can imitate. You see, we are in great need of fathers and mothers, true Christians of strong character, like the Thessalonians, true Christians full of the joy of the Holy Ghost who have faithfully imitated Christ that we too can faithfully imitate. And the church will develop and mature as faithful Christians rise up to lead the church. You see, young Christian men need the example of a godly spiritual father, a pastor or an elder. Young Christian women need the example of a godly Christian mother or Christian older sister and auntie. You see, we must learn to follow Christ through the examples of godly people like this that God appoints to the church. And so pray often that God will raise up spiritual fathers and mothers. Pray often that God will raise you up in maturity and Christ-like character to be a spiritual father and spiritual mother to others also. Here in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, excuse me, Actually, let's begin in verse 11. The Word of God says, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Now, once again, the Hebrew Christians that are being addressed here had come under great persecutions, great afflictions for the faith. And the writer, I believe that to be Paul, is encouraging them that they must continue, with all effort and full assurance of hope until the end. In other words, they had come into a time of hard testing, a very difficult time because of their profession of faith. And then it is that their profession of faith is tested. And he's encouraging them to continue to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, hold fast to the hope of glorification, hold fast to Christ in the midst of this very painful situation because of Christ's name that they are undergoing. And he encourages them not to be sluggish. That is, do not be lazy. Do not be inactive in their faith. But with strong faith, with diligence, with effort, imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Here he's calling them, as we find in Hebrews chapter 11, to imitate godly Christians who through many difficulties, many painful circumstances, much affliction and stress, pressed on and were received up into glory. That is, to inherit the promises through faith and patience. Patience means that they must endure hardships and finally arrive in the glorious presence. If they came into hardship and pain because of the name and then turned away from God, you see, they would not arrive to the inherited promise. They would not come into glory, but they would fall short. And so the admonition here is, you have come into a time of pain and struggle, but continue with effort, press on, press through, so that you arrive in the glorious presence of God. At times, when the hard testing and pressure comes on a believer or a professing believer who's not saved, then the true believer can weaken, and the one who is not a true believer, simply professes to have a faith in Christ but is not truly saved, will often fall away under the pressure. And so remember that when you come into pressure, trust Christ and with diligence press on. And he calls them here to imitate those who endured faithfully, patiently through every struggle and have been glorified. And we can think of James's admonition to remember the patience of Job. Now, Job was a man who could have thrown up his hands and heeded the admonition of his wife to curse God and die. He is a man who could have given up all hope in God. In the great extremes of his suffering, he lost his family, his children. He lost his livelihood. He was a man of great wealth. He lost property. He lost his health. He was covered with boils and sores. So he says even the dogs would come and lick him. He lost stature and respect by his servants, by all people. He was misunderstood by his friends. He was actually he was judged wrongly, misjudged by his friends, and they spoke wickedly of him things that were not true. They accused him of great sin. And in all of this great struggle and loss, Job was tempted to not continue with the gracious Lord. But the wonderful fact is that Job did continue with the gracious, wonderful Lord, and he inherited the promises. He was received into glory with Christ. And so Job is a great example to us of someone who endured much difficulty but who came to glory. And so again, we have a great example. We can imitate Job, just as the admonition here to the Hebrews is to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And then we find, my friends, in 3 John. Let me turn to 3 John. A very encouraging promise here. 3 John, and in verse 11, we find that the Word of God says, "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God." Again, the principle of imitating God who is good, not imitating the evil one who does wickedly. And he says there, interestingly, that the man who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. As we see in the other epistles of John, this same teaching, that a man is either a follower of God and that which is good, it's seen in his life, or he is not. He is a follower of the evil one and does wickedly, and that is seen in his life. And so we are to imitate not what is evil, but that which is good. Now, it's important to notice by way of application how it is that God calls us to careful imitation, careful obedience to his law. And many times we become negligent, we become slack in areas of our lives, and we begin to compromise with the truth and what God calls us to, so that we do not diligently or truly or fully obey God, but we begin to half-step with God. We begin to compromise with God. We begin to give him half our heart, half of our obedience. And after a while, we see that backsliding has set in. And then after another while, it's seen that the backsliding has increased. And after a while, some who have begun this slow compromise, this little compromise as they see it, have fully compromised and have turned fully away from God. Now, there are many admonitions, many warnings in Scripture to not do that, to not allow that to happen. And we find that here in 3 John. That is, we are to imitate with diligence that which is good. Do not allow yourself to imitate in the least measure that which is evil. And when you do sin and in some measure imitate that which is evil, quickly confess the sin and draw near to God so that you may follow after God rightly. And so we have great encouragement to not imitate the backslider, but to imitate Christ, whose heart was fully set on God and the glory set before him. And that really should be the pattern of our lives. If you are in a state of being backslidden today, let me encourage you that the Scripture is clear that God redeems the backslider. That is, God can restore the backslider. And so make the first step to a full-hearted walk with the Lord and repent of your sin. Simply come to the Lord. Go the Lord's way. Begin to obey him with all your heart, and you will find the marvelous grace of God coming to you so that you can follow him. Another verse in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 2, verse 14, quickly this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. And we find here that the Word of God says, verse 14, "For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans," verse 15, "who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they do not please God and are contrary to all men." And so here, Paul makes comment of the fact that the brothers in Thessalonica imitated the churches of God in Judea, who were persecuted for Christ's sake. And so, again, the Judean Christians were the earlier Christians. They had come to Christ earlier. They had set an example that the Thessalonian churches then imitated as they came into persecution, and they followed Christ, even suffering the same things from their countrymen that the Judean Christians suffered from the Jews. They suffered persecution. Some of them were killed, and some of them were persecuted. And so churches are to imitate other godly, Christ-like churches, you see. Praise the Lord. And so, my friends, we have these wonderful encouragements to follow in Christ-like character the beliefs of the Lord Jesus Christ. And next time, we want to look at a way in which we are to follow the practices of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to imitate him and to get and maintain godly character. The virtues of Christ are to be in us. The character of Christ is to be deep-seated in our hearts, which dominates and carries us forward. We act from the issues of life. True grace in our hearts has transformed our hearts. We are Christ-like, and we follow Christ and are like him in character. And then we are to do what he does in terms of service. And we'll talk about that more next Lord's Day and follow his example in his service as God leads us to, by his marvelous grace, as we learn about the example of Christ and Paul. Father, we thank you again for this teaching. And I thank you that you are a gracious Father and that I can learn from you just as my friends can learn to imitate you and imitate Christ and Paul and godly spiritual leaders. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are with us to guide us and teach us and direct our steps. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.